Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, coming to you from Las Vegas. The former Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Nevada, Mark Hutchison, joins us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season two of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Las Vegas at the Ahern Hotel. We are delighted to welcome back to the program former Lieutenant Governor Mark Hutchison. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Sam, it is great to see you. Great to be back on your show. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. So the word was out there that you were going to run for governor. And you know there's a lot of discussion in the media and amongst the political chattering class. And then all of a sudden now you're helping to run Joe Lombardo's campaign, which is not officially announced as we're taping this. But my understanding from the sheriff is that this will be announced in the middle of the month. First of all, why did you want to run for governor?
Well, I wanted to run for governor and took a hard look at that because I just think that Nevada's on the wrong track.
Because
I think that for the first time in our, I'm not going to say our state's history, but I'll say in my lifetime, we've had a governor who has been more concerned about a national agenda than a Nevada agenda.
How is that manifested?
It's been manifested because it just seems to me during the course of the legislative session and since the time that the governor has been elected, that he's just governed differently than he did, for example, when he was on the county commission. I spent a lot of years when Steve Sisolak was on the county commission, was the chair of the county commission. He seemed to be a pretty moderate politician, somebody who really was cognizant of business, didn't really get too political. Then it seemed like when he was elected governor, it just became very political for him. And whatever was being driven by the national agenda, whether that was related to the pandemic or whether that was related to education or whether that was related to law enforcement, you could tick down various subjects. He just started to become, I think, in my opinion, captured by that national liberal movement that a lot of these politicians become caught up in when they get a higher elevated office.
All right, so you're thinking about running for governor. Obviously, you have a lot of connections to raise money if you needed to. Why did you decide it was time to support Joe Lombardo?
My number one priority going into this was to consider what was going to be the best interest of the state of Nevada and what was going to be the best interest for those who wanted to see a change. To me, as a Republican, I thought that it made sense to get together with other Republican candidates who were thinking about this, see if we could support each other, see if we could maybe come up with a plan by which we could get behind and unify and rally around a candidate, really pool our resources, because you've got an incumbent governor. It's going to be an uphill battle. It's not something that's insurmountable, but it'd be a tough race no matter what. And I just felt like we needed to have a coordinated effort with the various Republican candidates. And so I began to speak with various candidates who I knew were thinking about running for governor, not all of them, but some of them, and ultimately decided that it would make sense for me to support Joe Lombardo to chair his campaign. He asked me to chair the campaign, and I did that with a hope that we could really kind of rally around Sheriff Lombardo and put him forth as our candidate.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll delve deeper into this right after this timeout.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Lieutenant Governor Mark Hutchison, who is heading up the campaign for Joe Lombardo, which, as we are taping this, is yet to be announced. But
it's coming.
I have been exchanging emails with Sheriff Lombardo. He's going to come on the program here after the announcement when he visits Reno, so we'll have him on the program then. So here's my question for you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure anybody is a natural to be nominated for governor. But it seems like an unusual choice for a sheriff to run as governor, unless you're in a totally law and order situation, which I'm not sure Nevada is in. And I don't know Sheriff Lombardo. I'm looking forward to meeting him and talking with him. I hear nothing but good things about him.
He's a good man.
From what I've read in the media, he's terrific. But tell me about why you think he would make a good governor.
Well, I think that Sheriff Lombardo showed us true leadership in really crisis situations. You think about 1 October, worst mass shooting in the history of the United States happened right here in Las Vegas. Sheriff Lombardo, I think, did an absolutely outstanding job leading us through what was a very painful, very challenging, and a very difficult time. And he really showed, I thought, a lot of leadership and a lot of characteristics that we need in a Nevada leader. Then you think about the political unrest, the social unrest, the racial unrest that occurred this summer. And I think that because of what Sheriff Lombardo had done previously in creating great relationships with various communities within Las Vegas and elsewhere, that we really didn't have the kind of political and racial and social unrest that other cities saw. I think that was another time when he really stepped up in a crisis situation, or could have been a very big crisis situation, and really showed a lot of leadership. The other thing I really think is attractive about Sheriff Lombardo is that he has won two races in Clark County. Clark County has got by far the most population in the state of Nevada. The voters of Clark County have voted for him twice. And I understand it was not a partisan race when he was right. sheriff, but still a lot of people have voted for Joe Lombardo and have a lot of faith in him.
How is he regarded within the Hispanic community? Because at this point, the numbers are growing larger and larger from that voting base.
Yes.
How does he poll with those?
I think that's going to be one of Sheriff Lombardo's strengths, is the minority communities in general, but and the Hispanic community in particular. He's had a lot of different outreaches as sheriff to the Hispanic community. He'll continue to have those kind of outreaches. I think he's well respected within the community. I'd be interested to have you interview some of the leaders within the community, but I think you'll find that he is uniformly respected and appreciated.
He's not known outside of Clark County except by news folks like myself,
right.
Who read all the newspapers and watch all the TV shows. So he has to sell himself both in rural Nevada, which I don't think will be a big stretch, but in Washoe County as well. Mm-hmm. How do you think he'll play in Washoe County?
The sheriff is going to do very well in rural Nevada, and he's going to do very well in Washoe County because people are going to, I think, first and foremost, vote for a leader. And I've mentioned to you, Sam, you really can't, you just can't underscore enough that Joe has been through the crucible of leadership trials with the situations he's faced as sheriff. So I think the very first thing you vote for when you're voting for a governor is a chief executive officer, a leader. And Joe has been tried and true. So they're gonna appreciate that about him. They're gonna appreciate the fact that he is somebody who I think cares about all communities, cares about all people. He's a big-hearted individual who I think is gonna be embraced by the rurals as well as by Washoe County. And I think that, you'd mentioned that, are we really in a situation where somebody who's kind of a law and order politician gonna be attractive? I think the number one thing that people want from their government is security and safety. And they wanna make sure that public safety is a priority, and Joe Lombardo will make that a priority for sure.
So there's an irony here. As I hear you talking, and you're talking about all the accomplishments of Sheriff Lombardo through all these crises, I think to all those press conferences and who was standing next to him, but Steve Sisolak, who was chairman of the Clark County Commission, and it was the two of them speaking in exactly the same language and tone at all those events. So doesn't that make it difficult to portray one without portraying both? I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but that is an ironic situation. It's not as though Steve Sisolak ran away from those situations. He was right there on that same platform.
Well, he was with the sheriff, no doubt. The one, though, who was leading the investigation and the one who was leading the inquiry into what happened and was the one on national TV letting everybody know where this investigation was headed and what was happening, and from a law enforcement perspective, was Joe Lombardo. And again, I go back to my comments to begin with. Steve Sisolak was the chairman of the county commission then. He wasn't the governor. In my experience and in my view, he's changed substantially since those days.
And why do you think?
Because I think that he has been caught up in this national agenda. I don't know if it's because of the people he surrounds himself with, Sam, that he didn't have when he was at the Clark County level, or if it's because he has aspirations to be seen as favorable to the liberal groups that are pushing hardcore a national agenda that I think is wrong for Nevada. And I think, frankly, if you look back on past governors, they didn't do that. They weren't captured by their political party. They weren't captured by these national agenda that would drive a lot of legislation and drive a lot of policy. They would look to the Nevada way, the Nevada needs, and provide that kind of a leadership. You had to make a decision as to who you were going to follow nationally in the pandemic. You had to make a decision as to who you were going to follow nationally when it came to defunding the police, when it came to environmental issues. You look at issue after issue, and Governor Sisolak seems to side with the more radical leftists of his party as opposed to the more central rational elements of his party, which I think he did much more as a county commissioner.
Okay, but now the one area that I would think I would disagree with you is I don't recall him at any time talking about defunding the police.
Oh, I didn't say he talked about defunding the police,
but
I know.
But you feel that that's the a national Democratic agenda.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt this national Democratic agenda. Matter of fact, Joe Biden's on the record saying that was something that hurt them in the 2020 election. The party, when they were pushing so hard, and elements of the party. Oh, okay. No doubt. No,
yeah.
I'm not saying that the Democrats, because there are a lot of great Democrats in the state of Nevada, a lot of great Democrats across the country. I specifically said the leftists, you know, these coastal leftist elitists that are driving very specifically a radical agenda. And I worry that the governor is getting captured more and more by that. I'm not saying that he's embraced everything, but I just don't think that was Steve Sisolak when he was on the county commission.
Okay, so Tig Sagebloom came here and did an interview earlier today, and he said that this governor has turned out to be the most progressive governor in the state's history, and that's coming from somebody you would know.
I know Tig very well.
Right, but I mean,
it underscores the point. I don't think when Steve Sisolak was running for governor and he was the county commission, I think most people, if you asked, how would you describe Steve Sisolak back then? It was not as a progressive, left-leaning, hard leftist.
He raised a lot of money from conservatives.
He raised a lot of money from conservatives. He raised a lot of money from businesses. It's going to be interesting to see if they continue to support him. Now, they're going to support him just because he's the incumbent governor in some ways. But I think that if you talk to a lot of businessmen and a lot of business women who supported Steve Sisolak, and you get him in a private moment, in an honest moment, they'll tell you that they've been very disappointed in his being captured by the more radical elements of his party. I mean, I can give you examples of that through this last legislative session if you'd like me to. But
of course.
Yeah, I mean, just environmentalism. Let's talk about that. There's a bill in the legislature to ban, essentially, natural gas. Natural gas, which we were told by the environmentalists just a few years ago, this is the cheapest, cleanest, best energy that we can use. Now they want to ban it because all they want to do is use solar and wind. Now, how much do you think it's going to cost you and me, let alone those who really are at-risk communities, to switch out every one of your appliances from a gas appliance to an electrical appliance? But yet that was part of the agenda that was being driven by the environmentalists. There was a bill in the Senate for there to be replacement of gas infrastructure, which happens from time to time and is necessary, for that to move forward and be funded appropriately. And it wasn't supported. It was, matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, it was introduced by the majority leader of the Senate. And it wasn't supported because it was not radical enough in terms of the environmentalists. They don't want anything that has to do with natural gas. They think everything in the future is going to be run on solar and the wind. And maybe at some point in time, it will be, but we're not there yet. And the idea that we're going to just drive this radical environmental agenda, and many of the Democrats and the governor is going to go along with that, including the policy from his own energy department, is troubling.
And the irony there is that NV Energy changed 99% of their power plants over to natural gas. They only have Valmy left as a coal power plant at the pushing of Senator Reid.
Yep.
And so they weren't thrilled with the idea of natural gas going away. But I think there was an incredible response to Senator Cohen's bill, and that's what pushed that to the side there.
But it didn't come from the governor's office. It didn't come from the governor's office. It came from industry. It came from the minority communities. People saying, you know what, this is really going to cost us. And in fact,
I think it came from everybody. It came from builders, home builders,
right?
Restaurant owners. I mean, and home cooks like myself and others that were saying, don't think about taking away my natural gas.
Yeah.
So here's maybe the big question. So somebody can't get elected or reelected to be governor without the support of the Las Vegas Strip. That is, those casinos are the big players in terms of funding. Does Governor Sisolak still have the support of the Las Vegas Strip, or are they going to split the money and provide some to Joe Lombardo and put the rest onto the governor? Because that's a big question.
It's a good question, Sam, and you're right. It's the most important industry, of course, in Nevada in terms of employment and in terms of oftentimes driving policy. Mining is big, gaming's big. That's a really big question. If I were to venture a guess, I think that most of the Strip will be supportive of the governor because he's the incumbent governor and it's a smart business play. But I think a lot of Strip players will be supportive of Joe Lombardo and a lot of them will split it. But I don't think that you will uniformly find that there was uniform support or even strong support for the governor. I think in private moments, when you get them and they're really honest and they say, how did the governor lead us through this pandemic with the strip being shut down for the first time in the history of the state to the extent that it was? What do you think about his communication? What do you think about his cooperation? What do you think about his inclusiveness of bringing the industry in? I don't think he would get high grades.
Interesting to take on an incumbent governor.
Yes.
The last time was your running mate, Brian Sandoval,
right,
taking on Jim Gibbons. And Jim Gibbons lost the support of the gaming industry, and that was what created his downfall.
Right, right. And he lost that support because there was a very strong, viable candidate running against him in the primaries, you remember, Brian Sandoval, as you noted.
But also the money was taken away.
And
there was,
sure,
you know, that was the big pain. I mean, there could, you know, Jim Gibbons didn't give up. Jim Gibbons ran in that election.
Yeah.
He is a fighter, and he was determined to be a fighter for the things he believed in, but the money was gone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know, there's living proof. It doesn't matter if you're a governor or not, if you don't have the money for those campaign
ads.
That's
right. And I don't think it's going to be the same thing this cycle. I'm not suggesting that in any way. The governor's going to have the support of gamers, but I don't think he's going to have the support that he would have had he led the state in a different way.
Do you think that what came out of a legislature, and tell me if you think it's constitutional, to be able to take those ballot questions that would have raised the gaming tax off the ballot, even though it went through the legislative process and they have ended up, along with those mining taxes, on the ballot?
Well, that's gonna be a decision by the Supreme Court, because you're right. Under this Constitution, once those ballot measures are introduced and qualified, then the Constitution says that the Secretary of State shall present them to the voters on the ballot. And then at the end of the session, there was, of course, the legislation that removed those and authorized by statute the removal of those from the Constitution, from the ballot initiative. So that's going to be a big constitutional question.
Okay, so how does that move forward? Because that's a really big deal.
It is.
That would be very painful for both mining and gaming if those questions were allowed to be on the ballot. The likelihood is they would pass with no problems. What's the legal process? Briefly, what's the legal process?
Somebody who was aggrieved by that legislation, somebody who, in other words, wanted those questions on the ballot, and that could be somebody from the teachers union, that could be somebody from another special interest group,
or they would have to have standing.
Right, but they would have to say, had that measure been on the ballot, had that been voted favorably, I would have benefited from that. I now have standing because it was constitutionally removed from the ballot.
Okay, and so we now await that person to come forward.
Yes, if that person will come forward.
All right, and that's the big question. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at the all-new Nevada Steak at Tamarack Casino. Great food, fine wines, and delectable desserts.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at the all-new Nevada Steak at Tamarack Casino. Great food, fine wines, and delectable desserts.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Lieutenant Governor Mark Hutchison. I wanted to ask you a question about the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Because you've testified in front of the, or brought cases in front of the United States Supreme Court. Linda Greenhouse, who has written extensively about the Supreme Court for over 30 years for the New York Times, wrote a commentary not too long ago where she said, don't take the Supreme Court for granted that just because they will, somebody was put in to that position because of their political affiliation is going to vote that way, that the Supreme Court has its own way of doing things, its own way of looking at itself.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
100%. I think that too many people believe that the judicial branch of government, the Supreme Court in particular, is a political body. It certainly gets appointed by politicians and by those who are in office, but they are about the rule of law. I think they take it very seriously. They are about the Constitution. I think they take it very seriously. And it would be surprising to a lot of people to see how many times those justices are united in their opinions as opposed to divided. The divided opinions, of course, get all the attention. But most of the time, they are very unified. And maybe there's a dissent or two, but they have a very strong sense of what is right, what's wrong under the law. And I think they do all they can to ensure that the laws are constitutional and are enforced that way.
And I have a funny feeling I'm going to see a lot more of you on this program here over the next year and a half.
Thank you
so much for being here. Pleasure to have you back.
Thanks, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian. And at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny!
Dad?
What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.